I will say good evening too. As he was just mentioning Madisonville, we was there today, and the reason for our being here tonight is we're starting our vacation. We're going to Chattanooga and hopefully to Atlanta for a few days, and so we wanted to come and start with, since it was on the way. I'm not going to lie, it's one night that we're not going to have to pay a hotel bill, so I'm going to use my brother in this occasion. He was very gracious to invite us up, and sorry that I missed my sister-in-law. She's out of town. She's down in our part of the country visiting the grandkid, you know. So, but we're thankful to be here tonight, and I have never spoke here before. It's obvious to you, and you have, once again, you have a beautiful, I've been here since the building was open, and but I think it's such a wonderful and beautiful building, and has such a, seems like a very good acoustics to it. I don't read music, but I hear music, and what hearing I've got left anymore, I really appreciate that. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, I'd like to go to the scriptures here, starting off with the 100th Psalms, the 100th Psalms, and then go over into the Gospels and try to make a few brief comments and give way to Brother Tidwell. The 100th Psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence singing. In verse 3 here is what I'd like for us to focus on for a moment of time, is that know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, the premise today or in the world today, that a lot of the people that I meet, and when it comes up, and it does come up, they say that there are one of three things that will come up in conversation. That's the weather and politics and religion, and I find that to be very true. A lot of the people I encounter, they do not understand the doctrines of grace. They've never heard the doctrines of grace. So it's important, as the Apostle Peter said in his writings there, that we sanctify the Lord God in our heart. We have a place, as I spoke today in Madisonville, that we have a place in our heart that only God can occupy. As much as we love our family, as much as we love one another, there should be a place in our heart, the heart that God has set apart by giving us that old heart, changing that old hard and stony heart, and coming in and circumcising that heart as it would be without doing, open heart surgery. Some of you may have had that. Our dad has had that surgery, and he shares that. I don't know exactly what to call it, but they say there's a club that the people that share the scar up on their chest, you know. But God does a divine work of grace in the little child of God. And I'm reminded of that so much of the time because, as the psalmist says, it is God who made us and not we ourselves. It's really hard for me to stand and to listen how that somebody says that they can come to Christ when we ourselves are just worms of the dust. We're in need of God's grace and his mercy. I think John addresses this in the Gospel of John here. And if you go with me, I'd like to go to chapter 6 here is where I'd like to read out of, and then maybe use some other places. Here in the Gospel of John, starting with John 6:29, I esteem your pastor very greatly. I've known Brother Lawrence for several years, and he comes a lot in our area as he does other areas. He gets around quite a bit. Amen. don't want to deal off because I'm sure he'll probably hear the tape or whatever like it, and he'll say, I'm going to have to talk to Brother David when I get him to the side. But I think he's got a wonderful gift, and God uses him in a mighty way to go and to preach to many people. And we esteem highly for the work's sake that he does. Brother Lawrence is just a man, just like all the rest of us, and he needs God's grace and his mercy. But the reason I say that is that he's very good with the chapter, book, and verse, and I would love to do that, but I've not been preaching 40 years like he has or all the time that he's spent. But this is one that I do know, John 6:29. And listen as he says this, and we back up here at 1 in 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. Now there's beautiful writings here as he goes on down, and these are some scriptures here that you're well familiar with, I'm sure. But he goes on down here, and just for time's sake, I don't want to be too rushy as it would be, but I do want to be mindful of the time. And he goes on down here into verse 35, 34, and he said, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Here's Jesus is setting forth a point here that goes all the way back into the Exodus letter, where Moses says, when he asked God, when God told him, he said, "I'm going to use you in a mighty way." And he said, "Lord, who am I going to tell them that you are?" And he said, "You tell them I am that I am." That's a statement there. And I know Brother Stubblefield worked in the Boy Scouts for a long time. And we used to work with the Scouts ourselves, my brother and myself, and we had our own troops and everything. And the 12 points of the Scout law that the boys adhered to, the Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Don't count me on that, Brother Stubblefield. Because I might have missed one there, but that's pretty close. But the point to be made here that I'd like to make is that I asked the boys, I said, I challenge you to see if you could add to that or take away from that. And the same way is here. What grander statement do we have, a bolder statement in the Word of God than I am that I am? It just kind of puts us in the place that we need to be, and that's in need of our God. And Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's talking about this bread, and he says, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." All John 6:37 is another one for us to be trying to log in our memory. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Not a truer promise, not a sweeter promise to the children of God than the very words that I've read to you. Verse 41 says here, "Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven?" Now, I want you to go with me for a moment of time and to see the circumstances, see the position that he was in. Here's our Lord and Savior that lived some, I believe, 30 years under the law, as it would be, because his public ministry did not start, I don't believe, until he was 33 and a half years old. Up to 30 years of age, and then for 3.5 years, his ministry was here on the face of the earth. We don't have a lot of recordings about what Jesus done during that time. So here they're looking upon Jesus as one that was just the carpenter's son. They were not seeing him as the Son of God, as he has just portrayed to them. Here he's going on, and this was something that they had a problem with. And, you know, the Hebrew letter talks about, I believe, the Apostle Paul being the writer of that epistle. And he was telling me, he said, that they had a problem with knowing, he said, they should not enter into my rest because of their unbelief. In other words, anyone that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ, and John also speaks about this in what I call the little writings of John, 1, 2, and 3 over there, he said there should be the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is just simply this, that those that know not Jesus or those that speak, that say that Jesus is not Lord. So there are those that oppose the Savior. And today, that is the same thing that we have, brethren. And any time that I try to speak, I know that they paid me a great compliment. We need encouragement as ministers. We really do there where I'm trying to labor with the people in Kentucky. And Brother John, I had talked to him about it, you know, and it's some 10 years that I've been trying to make an effort to preach. And he said, "Well, you're a lot better than you was when you first started." And I said, "Well, I hope that's the case. Surely, to goodness, I'm growing somewhat." But I think about the words of Jesus, how that when we talk to people, how our presence, what we say about our Lord and Savior, because as we heard in the prayer that my brother prayed, that we're saved by His grace and His mercy, wherein He saved us. I mean, we did not make ourselves. It is God who made us, not we ourselves. And we should be totally dependent upon the Savior. And so when we talk about this one whose name is Jesus, then we should say that in the very feeling, the very expression in the depths of our heart, knowing that we've been saved by this grace, this marvelous grace that we hear, that I've heard ever since I was a small little child, going to church, being taken to church by my mother and dad, and just remembering most of all when I was sitting on the front bench as you are there, what I did most of the time is I nodded off before the sermon was over. Not truly understanding, you see, but then God has a calling and he has a work for us to do. And it's amazing. My brother and myself talk about it from time to time. You know, some of our relatives down home, I don't mean to be humorous, but you know, they thought we was going to be convicts. They really thought we were little demons. Apparently we'd done some bad things around grandmom and granddaddy's house. And so, and I said, well, surely not. And I don't remember that. but they assured us that we were pretty bad little children. So God works a work in us, you know, and it's an amazing thing, because I didn't seek after the ministry. I really didn't. And I run from it for some period of time. And I'm not proud of that. And my brother, he is at it. And then my oldest son is also a minister. So I think about the marvelous work of God and how he works in a very mysterious way. And he takes just poor, measly sinners, and to be able to speak the words of Jesus, to be able to stand before God's people, as he told Peter over in the account of John, as he ride on there, and Peter asked him, what would you have me to do, Lord? And he said, you feed my sheep. You feed my sheep and you feed my lambs. You know, Peter, well, I can relate a lot more to the Apostle Peter than I can to Apostle Paul. I see, like Brother Lawrence, not trying to build him up or anything, but I see him being an Apostle Paul. But I see me being an Apostle Peter, if I might could say that, because Peter was up on the mountain one time and then he was down in the valley next. And even when he sat around the enemy's camp there, he swore, cursed and swore that he knew not this man. That at one time before they came to take our Lord and Savior, he drew out the sword and smote the high priest upon the side of the head and cut his ear off. And he said, Lord, I'll die. And I believe at that very moment in time, Peter was ready to swing that sword till his death. But look how he began to get then. Do we not find ourselves in the same condition from time to time? Lord, help us. We need to be ready and willing to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. I mean, we can't do this by ourselves. We can't do this under our own power, but we do this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we have the Lord and Savior who is so merciful to us. Moving on here, so I don't take up all of Brother John's time here. But and I'm going to take your water, though. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. A lot of my emotion tonight is because I have a dear friend who's an elder in our neighboring county who is on his deathbed. He's dying of cancer. He was diagnosed with esophageal cancer not too long ago. His name is Randy Walker. He is kin to, I know you're familiar with him, Brother Eddie Hicks. Sister Miriam Hicks, it's her nephew. And Brother Randy is an acquaintance of mine, and we have not known each other for very many years, but I don't know why I'm as heartbroken as I am by his situation. And I'm not trying to make you sympathetic because you don't know him, but I just think about how that we need to remember that we've been saved from that. That we should sorrow not as others. The Lord tells us, he said that there is the death of the saints are precious in his sight. And this thing called death is not something that we should be afraid of. But while we're here, we have these blessed words. He says that in the last days that I will raise him up at the last day is what made me think about that. You know, the greatest enemy that we have and the greatest enemy that Jesus had was death. But if you allow me a moment of time here, I'd like to turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians here, which we call the resurrection chapter. In the very last verses here, the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He says, so when this corruptible, in verse 54 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our walk, our labor, our life, the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is not something that we can say as a natural man. Only by the Spirit of God and only by the revelation that we have this blessed hope, because we've been saved by his marvelous grace. I tell you, I've heard the song many times, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But when it tugs at your heartstring, when you know that you're his, then you begin to understand how marvelous that grace can be, how wonderful it is and what Jesus done. These words here that he spoke, there's no greater words to be spoken ever. One of the points I want to try to make is the fact that those that have gone on to be with the Lord, to be absent of the bodies, to be present with the Lord, ever to be with the Lord. We're to rejoice in the death of the saints. We miss our loved ones. We want to be with them again. But will we call them back? Absolutely not. I believe that's why Jesus wept at the raising of Lazarus, because he knew he was going to bring him back. He had the power to do that. He's the only one. That's what he's talking about here. He is the bread of life. He is that great I am that goes all the way back there to the time of Moses, when Moses said, who am I going to tell them, Lord, that you are? You tell them I am that I am. I hear those words. I hear those words today. When I begin to get where Moses was, he was a human being. He was a man just like us, and he got tired and he got weary and he needed encouragement. That's what these words do for me. They encourage me, and that's like the brother was talking about, the Apostle Paul was talking about in the last part of chapter 15 there, that we faint not, that we be not weary. You know, I was telling the folks today that the resurrection chapter, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that should not just be read at the cemetery. That should be read right here to the living, because that's what we need to know. Because we're all going to face that time. No, we know not what the time is. And I don't want to be, you know, somebody says, well, that's the most doom and gloom I've ever heard. No, there's victory in the Lord. That's what I want you to see tonight. There's victory in Jesus Christ. In him and him alone. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is our life. This should be our life. And this life that we have here now, we're given this instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, completely furnished. Here he's speaking these words to those that would murmur against him. He goes on down here for time's sake, and he says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. I am. It just keeps coming up over and over and over. Jesus identifies himself. He said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the bread. So many different ways. And John brings that out to me better than any, because this was the beloved apostle, the one that leaned upon Jesus' breast. Jesus loved all his apostles, but this was the words of Jesus. He said he was a beloved apostle. So he wrote these things, I believe, from the heart, by the inspiration of God. But he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I want to skip down here, and then I'm going to yield to you, Brother John. He goes on down here in 630, in the same chapter, in the 61st verse. He said, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Do you hear Jesus speaking tonight? Do these words offend you? See, this is an offense to people. There are people in this world right now that would be or standing on the gates for us, for the freedoms that we have in this country, that we're able to sit here without persecution tonight. People who's had their heads cut off for the name of Jesus. I believe that's what it's all about, really, when you get down to it. Lord, help us not to forget. Do these words offend us? 62, and what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus should be our all in all. He's the Son of God, the spotless Paschal Lamb. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice. When I think about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it breaks my heart to know that Jesus went and done what we couldn't do, first of all, but that he was willing to come to suffer and to bleed and die. And that's why that I can continue on and I can speak the words of peace and of grace about my brother and my friend that's passing on from this world. It's because he shall live. As he told Lazarus in the resurrection, he said, oh, if you'd have been here, my brother, he said, he shall live in the resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the life. Thank you, God, for the great I am. Thank you for your good attention.